help us to commence this evening with hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Thank you. Let us read together from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And we turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, and they that rule over them make them to hell, saith the Lord. And my name continually, every day, is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Thou beautiful upon the mountains, for the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your, will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Let me just turn onward to the prophecy of Zechariah from chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord, sir. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, and grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these 2 olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And he answered again and said unto him, What be these 2 olive branches which throw the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? He answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the 2 anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Lord, we do seek now gracious help. Leave us not. Grant the Holy Spirit a promise in diet, true prayer and praise in our hearts. And grant us, Lord, to mingle with all our many, many desires and confessions. Lord, that spirit of thankfulness for thy many mercies. Countless as the sands we sometimes sing. Our sin forfeited lives are marked. Truly, we feel with the greatness of thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies. Oh, how far off we are still, and yet we have been in the world and not known our need. Now, Lord, we come and seek a thankful heart for the throne of grace and for thy sweet mercy. Lord, it is not to be earned but sweetly bestowed. Mercy is mercy. Lord, we ask that thou be with us and grant thy blessing. Lord, leave us not without the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Leave us not, Lord, without some lifting up with dear Job. Leave us not, Lord, without some token for good with the dear psalmist. Grant us, Lord, much more than we can ask. Lord, a little sweet life in our hearts. That grace of which we have read. And that help of God to come over all our many mountains as thou dost grant the wings of faith. Oh, do grant us such sweet supplies. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember each longing soul. May the Lord be pleased to grant the well of Bethlehem and the sweet merits of Jesus, the sinner's friend. Lord, remember those that faint by the way. And grant them, Lord, such sweet reviving as they shall go on their way. Bless the hymn. Lord, so much looked unto and so many desires in it. And yet we have to seek, Lord, that grace to own thee. But do grant us that increase. Lord, remember those that have burdens and cares in life's journey. Surely thou art the burden bearer. We read, he careth for you. So may we prove it, Lord, in so many things. But this house of prayer, Lord, we do seek continually. Lord, when often we come especially. Lord, Zion's true peace, the real prosperity. May the Lord arise. May there be those, Lord, that shall come from afar, as it were, and say, enemy not, for I must go with you. Grant, Lord, willing hearts in the day of thy power. Lord, that sweet moving of the Spirit, the most blessed form of sign that thou art with Zion, whatever men say. Lord, its hearts moved and thy commandments to be precious, the love of Christ to prevail. Remember our deacon, the deacons here, and do be round about them and bless the church. Remember the congregation, hear prayer for the Sunday school. Remember those unable to be here that we pray for. We ask, Lord, that thou would hear us for our own cause, and pray that thou would bless a few things this afternoon. Could it please thee? Do grant, O Lord, that heart to seek thee for our land, for our nation, for the months ahead. Lord, that thou art to rise, but do touch hearts. Lord, do grant an acknowledgement of the Almighty. Lord, what need we have of thy appearing? And do remember the nations of the earth. Grant thy kingdom may come. Now, Lord, we need thee to visit us. Lord, do grant we may be like those that would bid thee welcome. We hear the knock. May grace be given. May the Lord graciously come. If we're any in this special trouble, any, Lord, that are cast down with the psalmist, and do help those that need it feelingly. And Lord, do remember those like us that have looked away and planned and thought to do many things opposite to thy word without care or thought, and yet thou hast laid hold upon us. Grace is a firm and friendly hand put forth by God to save his own. Lord, make up where we fail. Help us to plead that worthy name. Help us, Lord, to seek there may be such a sweet knowledge of the babe of Bethlehem for our poverty and helplessness. Be with us, Lord, in the burdens that come, the cares and the down sittings. Seem to be more down sittings than liftings up. Lord, do come and make us some use, some help. The Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. Come over our unworthiness. Lord, after all, we fear that we are so marked down. Oh, Lord, do grant a favour divine. May the Lord appear. Remember us feelingly, Lord, to be so poor and needy. One said, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Our minister brought low. How far off. Lord, do come. Help us sing thy worthy praises. touch our hearts with sweet melody. May Christ be precious. Help us to be low at thy feet. Do crown thy gospel with success. Lord, outdo our requests. Plead that worthy, exalted name. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 321. My soul, Lord, inflame with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love, and lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. 321.
Thank you.
by the Lord's help, I will again direct you to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 52, reading again from verses 7 into verse 8. Isaiah 52, verses 7 and 8. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. We tried to speak a little from the text, the verse 7 perhaps this morning especially. How beautiful upon the mountains. We spoke just a little of those mountains in their natural state, and God has set them forth. You know, those mountains which belong to his handiwork, how much more the hearts of his people that are brought by divine grace unto the mountains that are in God's holy word. We tried to speak a little of them. We noticed also those mountains of sin and trouble, sorrow and grief, those high mountains we cannot look over, but look over to see how the Lord can appear. Those mountains so great, it needs the Lord himself. Those mountains round about Jerusalem, naturally so much more than to poor Zion. And yet there's one here beautifully made known with his feet upon the mountains. How beautiful. On the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. I turn down that hymn in the vestry. See, from Zion's sacred mountain. That's the way into the text, isn't it? Streams of living water flow. God has opened there a fountain. So on it speaks of that truth of the Mount of God and the streams that flow out of it. And that is how the Lord delivers his people from the curse, the broken law, and sweetly brings them by his grace upon the merits of the Saviour. It could seem a sweet hymn to think about. I want to come as God may help me. Suddenly, this morning, it seemed to fill my mind to speak of those mountains in the gospel. That's the mount where we read of Jesus taking up his disciples and proclaiming so many blessings. All that sweet truth of the gospel. Blessing to the poor, and the blessing, as we read in God's word, according to the greatness of the Lord himself. But it's hearts, isn't it, that are so full of need and brought to seek the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's a good text, isn't it? I mean, those that cannot rise above it. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's one gone to glory, I believe, that love that sweet truth. And we've got something of a memento from her. Remember our friend Mr. Curley as well with affection. I must pass on. Blessed are the meek. That's what God's grace does. For they shall inherit the earth. So they that mourn, even those that mourn, are blessed if they mourn according to the gospel, mourning because of sin, the nature of it, the plague of it, the dominion of it, the trouble of heart it brings. All for a blessing of the Lord like that. Lord, grant some sweet understanding that that truth and the many blessings upon the mount. And so we think of the text. Lord, proclaim it in many hearts, beautiful upon the mountains, feet of him that bringeth good tidings. And my thoughts go again to that mount called Calvary. Once we saw no beauty in it, any desire for it. And if our little religion's right, it all rests there. What the dear Redeemer has done, and made it known on Calvary, it is finished. Nothing to be put to that salvation, that top stone. Do you need the top stone? Well, the Lord grant some sweet view of that mountain, of him that went up there and was laid low there, nailed there to the cross of wood. And yet, it is the sweet way when we understand those tidings can reach the guilty, the undone, the elect of God, and yet so poor. Those that are so undone, I think we could say that many times. Undone, undone, unclean, unclean. And yet upon Calvary there is that sweet understanding of the Lord, that sacred work of redemption standing between. Garments dyed in blood, there is garments of obedience, aren't they? And that glorious truth of him that came and fulfilled all the Father's demands of a holy law to such an honour that the Lord was well pleased, not only with his Son, but all upon his heart. How beautiful. Upon the mountains, the sweet truth of Christ crucified. We spoke this morning of the love the dear Apostle Paul had. He often dwelt there, didn't he? Christ and him crucified. And oh, what success, what blessing did the Lord attend the witness. And it was in many years past especially, as if the Lord gathered in many, according to the doctrine of the cross and the blessedness of it, in the sacred truth of election and predestination, and the sealing of all those divine truths to a great glory, that that man should dwell with God, but first God should dwell with man. He raises his church high, friends, above their sin and guilt and their mountains too. Especially upon Calvary was the blood especially made known. No, not solely was the blood shed in the circumcision. The blood shed indeed in a very sacred way in the Garden of Gethsemane. What holy ground. But then we think upon Calvary and the spear, the blood and the water to cleanse the poor sinner from his sin and to grant that glory to his name and the salvation of all the church. One great, mighty transaction. When he cried, "It is finished," as the hymn writer says, for such poor souls as we. A sacred place. But yet, we need to remember to take off the shoes of our feet. It's holy ground. I want to come a little further. There is the sacred mountain. We consider very brief. We must hasten. When he led them forth to that mountain, was lifted up, not without a blessing. Lifted up his hands and blessed them. That's his church. Were they not blessed? Yes, indeed. But friends, it's the conveying of it. It's, as it were, the top stone and all its glory. And the Lord would have his people with himself, exalted in heaven. We've sung, I did like the assurance in the last few verses of that hymn, but it wasn't all assurance, was it? 3:2:1, it speaks there of the lowliest two. The mountain. My fears sometimes say I never shall find in death's awful day true peace in my mind. But though thus surrounded, yet when I come there, I can't be confounded. The Lord will appear. My dust he will raise, glory he'll give. Some say, well, we shouldn't really speak of high assurance. Why not, friends? That's the top stone we need. Glory he'll give, and nigh to his praise, and heaven shall live. What for? To crown him, Lord of all. Ever my poor soul be saved thee. This Christ must be the way, the hymn writer says, another place. But I'm not here to preach the hymn book. It's the lines of it, friends. It's the top stone, isn't it? It's what God will do to perfect his praise. In fact, we were singing a sweet hymn this afternoon. I must hasten on. 4:20, and you just pardon me, I want to refer to it. Bless the Lord my soul, all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, his favours, my divine. I thought, what a wonderful thing to die like that. With that desire to praise the Lord, that sin needs to be forgiven. Need a vital union. The Lord to pardon sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. I must hasten. How beautiful. The Lord conveys these truths and grants his sweet feet, as it were, upon the mountain. Bring in those tidings for good. We want to touch upon it. That publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publisheth salvation. I know it's a well-known text, but that's how my mind has been led. I want to distinguish between that which is letter, that which is spirit, and that which is just in the nominal sentiment of faith, that which is living faith, that which just acknowledges the Lord came and may wonder about it. Friends, we need worship in our hearts about it. Why me? Such a wretch. How beautiful upon the mountains. Now, experimentally, that bringeth good tidings of good. What does it mean? Well, good tidings, yes. And then the goodness in them. Those that fear, their names should be left out. There's good tidings of his goodness. The hymn writer says, pardon me again, sweet hymn sums it up, that we walk through this wilderness. God's promises are, stay his goodness, it's in our text. He will make the path before us in the way goodness immortal and divine, the bliss of endless day. Lord our God will make the path before us in the way. Good tidings of good eclipses everything, doesn't it? The world called good and great, that may flatter our pride, the Lord keep us, that may exalt a poor rebellious soul to think more than he ought. Good tidings of good, friends, they are the tidings of God himself. That's divine goodness. We have read, oh, do we know something of it? We bless the Lord for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, in the sentiment of it, the blessedness of it. Now, what we need is the good tidings to our heart, don't we? To our souls. Let me bring you to something when I was young. My stepmother came into the room one Christmas morning. I didn't know anything much, but she spoke to me of the wonder of his coming in such a way I had to take notice. You know, old nature, friends, it rises up, doesn't it? Someone's in the love of Christ, the old devil won't like it much. Oh, we need such pardon. And those that have been with Jesus, you can look back and say, how sweet the truth. How we may have despised them. How beautiful. The Lord visits his people. The good tidings of good. You know, that's the essence of the gospel, isn't it? There can't be better tidings than this. Good tidings of good. That full pardon, forgiveness and putting away of sin. As far as God is revealing his word from the east from the west. It seems to speak of the greatness of Emmanuel. And that richness of his person. That bringeth good tidings of good. We noticed John the Baptist, but he was but a messenger. For the messenger to come. Here we have it beautifully set forth in the gospel. That bringeth with himself good tidings of good. The Father hath proclaimed, in him should all fullness dwell. The sweet fullness there is in Christ. I mean to poor sinners. Those that are poorer than they used to be. Those that are diminished and brought low and greatly feared. The Lord has gone out against them. Sometimes set about by Satan. Tormented, afflicted. Well, I don't preach that up. But I would speak well of him. That comes right where his people are. Because he doesn't turn round the other way, does he? A certain Samaritan came where he was. Beautiful type of the gospel. Not empty-handed. Nothing needed to be handed to him, friends. It was in him, wasn't it? Poured in the oil and the wine. Beautiful type of the dear Redeemer. So the man was quite better. Oh, the Lord grants it to us. Sweet Spirit, take care of him. Bring him on his way. Set tidings in his mouth, perhaps, to speak well of the dear Redeemer. That bringeth good tidings of good with him. Not lacking, not borrowed. Friends, it's not from the law, it's from the highest part of heaven. In that sweet glory of it, the Father hath granted all that is good, and we have the sentiment of it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, ineffable, unspeakable gift. Oh, have you ever known something like that? And our poor hearts are healed up, and we may remember our sins, but we have it in the gospel, they can't be found. They are beautiful upon the mountains. Are there any upon the mountains? Souls are vexed and full of trouble. Little strength is gone. Their hope seems perished from the Lord. We trusted that it had been He. It should have redeemed Israel. That's a beautiful account of Luke, isn't it? And so he listened. Then he gave them the tidings. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Soon their hearts were so different. The Lord had come right where they were. They felt to be at the ends of the earth. Soon, these things are real, but we need our hearts enlivening. How beautiful. On the mountains are the feet of him. I think the application could be said. We may see somebody with much affection over many years perhaps, or times, and then the Lord to visit his people and renew in their heart that sweet intimacy with love. Yea, I've loved thee with everlasting love, there with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Not without chastening, but it's a drawing, isn't it? That drawing of his love, as it brought us out of the world, but we mourn and feel to be so ready to go back. Left for a moment, where are we? Forgiven, and yet often hearts overtake us. So poor, and yet he is so rich, as our brother said in the vestry. Friends, it's him, isn't it? How beautiful. Upon the mountains. And the sense of it is this lower earth and all that belongs to the child of God, his little lot, his appointments that God has granted. Some so full of sorrow. So many things, and yet how beautiful upon the mountains. He turns losses into gains. My richest gain I count but loss. Triumph in the Saviour's cross. All for the sweet increase of it. And then it pleases God to anoint and equip his servants. Do you know, it does need God's mercy. You wonder what I'm saying, but friends, how it's mercy alone, isn't it, that can sustain a poor, helpless soul. And think mercy is like the river Jordan overflows its banks. So may we know that increase of it. the Lord to be pleased to grant that sweet interest, the Saviour's love, and we need his rich mercy too. That bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. These tidings are those tidings, good tidings of good. Cannot really go over it, but it's there. They're good tidings because they're glad tidings. Good tidings because God sweetly makes them known. He whispers peace and grants that sweet knowledge of himself, and grants peace to all guilty souls. They cannot sin away his peace. They cannot sin away their salvation. It's secured, but oh, it's that grace we need, isn't it? That bringeth good tidings. Now, let me just say quickly that a man can be sent of God. He have tidings. Are there any tidings in his mouth? Yes. But what's it need? Hearts that God has touched. To know the certain sound. To need the things that God makes known with new hearts. And so sometimes he turns his people upside down. Empties whom he fills. We need emptying as well as filling. I want to hasten that publisheth peace. Now, the sweet emphasis here is that which is in the settlement of it. It was so in eternity past, the settlements of grace. So I hope I stand upon doctrine that speaks of God's great goodness for such ruined sinners, and that according to the goodness of God in the purposes of salvation, it's that glorious scheme, that appointing that God will dwell with man, and have this one brought back, that one brought near, another shall say, why me, why such a wretch? But they're the ones that God comes to bless, the poor and the needy, them that have no helper. No help in self I find, yet I sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. What a standing there needs to be on these vital truths, a lowering of them, a sweet standing upon them. Here is the vital truth as it is in the precious Christ, in his sweet appointment of the Father, the sending of his Son, the Son of his love, the man of his right hand, to vanquish sin and bring in an everlasting righteousness. And to, I like that expression, crown the gospel with success. The blessed Spirit, the taking of the things of Jesus. Perhaps sometimes in the times of espousals, those can look back and remember how the Lord graciously took them in hand, as it were, and both convinced them of sin and then led to Jesus' blood, and then accompanied with that love to him, that desire to be found among his people now and through eternity. And that the essence of it, friends, is that true conversion. Doesn't mean we don't need converting ever again, does it? Not at all. It means this. For that sweet increase of his grace. I want to come to it. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, Now, it's recorded, isn't it, in the sweet word of His grace, and it's recorded somewhere else. The fleshy tables of the heart. Is it written there? Well, friends, as the Lord granted that writing upon the wall of our heart, or to the honour of His name, here I stand. That sweet desire to own Him, and yet so we need holding up in it. So we need the Lord to strengthen our faith. We must hasten. We need this published in our heart. We need the Lord to write it upon the fleshy tables of our heart, the new heart, I mean. And to grant many much sweet knowledge of the Saviour. I must hasten. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Well, my thoughts have gone. That account, we must speak of another prophet, Zechariah. It's a mountains, isn't it? Who art thou, O great mountain? So great, can't look over it. Can't look through it. You can't look beyond it. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel. Who is this Zerubbabel? The heavenly Zerubbabel. That we need Him. We need Him in our own hearts to subdue our sins. And let me be ever so faithful. We need Zerubbabel to touch many hearts. Crumble them. To bring them another way. And their high, lofty notions of what's right and wrong. What they think is that which often contradicts the sweet Spirit of God and the truth, the gospel. I must hasten. In that prophecy of Zechariah, I think these words are known so well, but we can't know them too much. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, oh, let him arise. Thou shalt become a plain. We tried to speak briefly this morning, didn't we? A beautiful upon the mountain. It needs this heavenly Zerubbabel. Oh, to grant that sweet appearing, to manage trials and troubles, to build up His people. But then, how does the Lord bless His people by Zerubbabel? Well, He brings forth the headstone, the rod with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Thou shalt become a plain. It's that appearing of God. I hope I've known it more than once. We need it so much now. God, to make mountains into plains. In fact, I was thinking of a sweet word prior to coming out. And I will make all my mountains away. God can do that, can't He? All these mountains away into a plain. Answers of peace. The Lord to appear. I will be exalted in that day. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. The Lord grant it in some particular way. A mountain might come to nothing, but I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Christ Jesus. These things are real when the Lord appears. And that mountain so great is that which is but a way for the Lord. All His appointments. Is there a mountain of Sinai to know? Friends, there's a sweet mountain of Calvary to know. By grace. Is there a mountain of trouble, the Lord is above it. Is there a time of trouble? The Lord grant thee grace of the Lord Jesus to help us to bear with it, or to appear to remove it. Oh, make all my mountains away. I think that's a very sweet word in Zechariah. Perhaps it's been preached on countless times, but still the truth is sweeter than sound in the gospel, isn't it? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone. And that's the top stone. With shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Oh, it's that. It's that the Lord's put the top stone on something. Lord, to grant that sweet seal, that token, that evidence. Token for good. That's the son waiting upon the Lord. But friends, don't look to anything less than he that can put the top stone on it. There'll be those shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. So many trying to be better, trying to be what they never will be in themselves. But oh, friends, let the Lord lay a good foundation. And then to build upon it with eternal praise. Because it needs the right understanding of that which is right. And that which is good. According to his work and witness. We must hasten. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And I always think that really must be Christ himself. So many fears. Earth despise a day of small things. Well, it's that way, isn't it? Until the Lord grants the top stone, and that is that praise to his name. Now, and sometimes here below, there's a sweet setting of the top stone upon his work and witness. But we may notice the time of his spouse, the time of love. The time when sinners let go of all their fancied meekness and thought, and friends, they're like clay in his hand. Would God are more like that. Put the top stone on his grace and in the calling of his dear people out of nature's darkness, and so that he crowns them with that sweet token that all this was done for you. So I can't attain to the full assurance and the ordinance and the blessed things that I love to hear and speak about, but I can't gain that access. And friends, what should we speak about? Christ Jesus and his grace. How would you be without it? And the promise, but he giveth more grace. I speak to characters. It's those that know what it is to be emptied, and yet their hearts are more drawn to him in the want of him. Those that are brought out of nature's darkness, they want the light. And there's a light sometimes that shines upon the road, leads us to the Lamb. There may be much darkness. And yet how precious then when the light shines. Like the star the wise men saw and rejoiced about it. That publisheth peace. With good times of good, that publisheth salvation. And saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, we need that, friends. The Lord to reign over us as king. I think of Zion. The Lord to graciously establish, strength, and settle poor Zion. And then what do we read of the fruits of it? Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. They shall say eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Perhaps my thoughts are limited. I must speak very carefully. Do you know it's when the sinner is in the dust that Christ is precious. We can't get low enough. There is that desire for the increase of His sweet grace. And then grace is so precious, isn't it? It's the top stone. Because we have it in the scripture. The headstone is shouting, is crying, grace, grace unto it. A testimony. Little testimony here, but friends, grace is the substance of it. Many ways to look at it. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace that brought me low, and grace has led me on. Grace has brought us to this moment of time. Friends, what debtors we are when we're in our right place. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I am constrained to be. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts. Friends, what is grace to you and me? Is it the favour of God without mitigation? Friends, the breaking forth of his favour. The greatness of it. The love of God to sinners. That bank of faith. The truth of it is. The substance of it is faith and hope and love, but oh, that grace. To pardon crimson sins. Keep cleansing away our guilty stains. Is that what you need at the end of the day? That grace, Lord, do grant it. Some of us need it. So much to cover all amiss, as we often conclude with. But just a few things. Wonderful thing was that seeing eye to eye. Well, friends, it's eye to his eye, I want to notice. Desire to know what his will is. No will but that. Then there is that eye to eye in that sense where there is that sweet union. The hymn writer speaks of it, each other and the Lord. What's the antithesis? When man wants to be something, I must leave. That's my thoughts there. I feel to need the Lord to grant me grace to never speak upon such a subject as that. Oh, the shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. That's a sweet thought, isn't it? When there is nothing but his grace to speak about or sing about. Sweet hymn about it, isn't it? But my grace is sufficient. Not just about, is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Lord speaks of it in the gospel. My strength is made perfect in weakness. But out of weakness made strong. It is necessary to speak the Lord making his people strong by his love and granting that grace to him. It's standing the breach, isn't it? And not hiding behind anything. I must hasten. I must conclude. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's a sweet thought, isn't it? Grace reigns. Well, God reigns, yes, but grace reigns. How does it reign? Friends, in the very person, the Son of God. Oh, it dwells there to a fullness. We believe in the grace of the Father, the goodness, but oh, friends, the surety and his love. That sweet grace. The poor, wretched sinners, undone by sin, so full of guilt and shame, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now I must leave a few remarks. We read the text, how beautiful. On the mountains, on the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That, I like this, that bringeth good tidings of good. Oh, his goodness. Some of you have known it very sweetly. That publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He liveth. Oh, and he reigns. Sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. My watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. They shall see eye to eye, and the Lord shall bring again Zion. I must leave a few remarks. Lord, forgive all amiss. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £755, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Tim Barker is expected to preach on Friday evening, as Mr. Field is unable, and Mr. Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1061. Lord, I believe a rest remains to all thy people known, a rest where pure enjoyment reigns, and thou art loved alone. 1061.
grant the Spirit's help to plead, Lord, that thou wilt remember our friend in our great age and weakness. Oh, that thou wilt put, Lord, that seal upon our hopes and the top stone to be made known to the glory of thy rich grace. For if thou hast touched our heart, thou can touch any. We thank thee, Lord, for any hope and pray for that increase of it. Now may the grace of Christ our Saviour and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favour rest upon us from above. Amen.